Otherwise, it is absolutely forbidden for you to kill and slaughter the animals. So I would like to share some narrations which tell us that you are not allowed to kill the animals for no reason. Some of the narrations, they do not refer to any specific animal. They just mention that without a justified reason, you have no right to kill the animals. For example, the Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, or rather, it has been mentioned that إِنَّهُ نَهَى عَنْ قَتْلِ كُلِّ ذِي رُوحٍ إِلَّا أَيُّذِي. You have no right to kill any creature that is that has a kind of soul. And you know that according to us, the Islamic, I mean, according to the religion of Islam, animals also have a kind of soul.
Yes.
Unless they, they are bothering you or, I mean, dangerous to you. In that case, yes, it is based on a kind of wisdom. But, I mean, beside that, we have no right to kill the animal. It is absolutely forbidden.
So one reason is for protection.
Pardon?
To protect yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Only in that case we are allowed to do that.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. The next narration reads, according to the Holy Prophet, that there is no animal, be it birds or any kind of animal, that if you yuqtal bighayr al-haq, if you kill it without any right, then سَتُخَاسِمُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. This narration is very powerful. On the day of judgment, that killed animal will come to you, I mean, will come to the court of God and will complain against you.
Yes.
And it will ask for its rights against you. This also shows how, I mean, great is the right of the animal, the right of life for animals. According to another narration, the Holy Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed any person who kills the creatures, I mean the animals, I mean through shooting arrows without any reason.
Yes.
Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, our sixth Imam, is quoted as saying, this narration is also very interesting. He says that the most reprehensible sins are three. One of them is killing the animals, of course, without any reason. And the second is, refraining from paying the dowry of women and refraining from paying the wage of the one who works for you. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam called killing the animals without any justified reason as one of the most reprehensible sins. So all these narrations refer to the fact that we are not allowed to kill any kind of animal when
without
it comes
reason.
To halal animals, it should be based on a wisdom, like we slaughter just to provide the food, but we are not allowed just to kill a sheep just for fun, just to show that we have the ability to shoot an arrow, for example.
Yes.
Or through a gun.
And even we have it with Imam Reza when he protects that gazelle.
Yeah.
So that means they have been very kind with the animals.
Exactly. That's a very
and
good
animal
example.
Right has a history in Islam as well. So now I have a question from you. Don't you think that killing animals, especially camels, the way that camels are being slaughtered for sacrifice is a bit of horrendous? What do you think about that? Isn't it considered to be a sort of torturing?
Inshallah, I will talk about some of the Islamic etiquette for slaughtering the animals. But quickly, let me refer to some of them. It's been proved that even, according to some researchers, we know that Islam asks the Muslim to slaughter the animals through an iron killing tool, like a very sharp knife. There are some recommendations, for example, inshallah I will share some of them later, But for example, the sharp needs the knife needs to be very sharp, and one
in
of the
order not to bother the animal.
Not to bother the animal, yeah. And the other point is that Islam says that you need to cut those four main arteries, and it's been proved that it happens within few seconds. As soon as those four main arteries are cut, after some seconds the animal will not feel the pain
anything,
anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is one point. Because the fact is that when those four arteries are cut off, a great portion of the blood will gush forth and gush out of the body of the animals. So the animal will lose the blood pressure, and that is why it will not feel any kind of pain anymore. It's been proved in the science that, when the animal is slaughtered in this way, it is one of the fastest possible way for slaughtering the animal. This is one point. When it comes to, some people may argue that, so we may use, for example, electricity and so on and so forth. Again, it's been proved in the science that if you are going to, somehow kill the animals without that blood gushing forth and going out of the body of the animals, it will remain some, negative effect inside the body of the animals.
Yes.
So Islam says that you need to slaughter through this way. Islam has, of course, many recommendations. Inshallah, I will share. So might seem that it's a kind of torturing, but the pain is within maybe a very few
seconds,
maybe less than 10 seconds. But then there is no pain, and then it will not have all those negative effects of, remaining blood inside the body of the animals.
Yes.
So when we put together all these points, and science also helps us in this regard, we come to this conclusion that people, it might seem that it's very, a kind of heinous action done by the people, and maybe it is one of the faults of the people that they just slaughter animals in front of the eyes of the children. No, we are not allowed, we are not recommended to do that. When it comes to the time of the slaughter, we have, great recommendations.
Yes.
Inshallah, I will share some of them. When it comes to the knife, we have some recommendations.
Also recommended.
And for example, let me just share one point in this regard that Islam says that you have... It's very discouraged or makruh to kill an animal in front of other animals because of the fact that the other animals, they have feeling, they just see the other animal is slaughtered and they also feel the pain.
Yes, they feel the pain.
So it's highly discouraged to do that, to slaughter an animal in front of other, for example, sheep, especially if it's a matter of, child and parents. So it's, highly discouraged in the religion of Islam. You are not allowed, it's discouraged to slaughter the animals at night. And this is because of the fact that some scholars argue that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the night is for the rest.
Yes.
جَعَلَ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا. The night is for the rest, not only for the human beings, but also for any other creature.
All the creatures,
so
yes.
It's very, again, discouraged to slaughter the animals at night. Let them, rest. You may do that, during the day.
During the day.
Yeah. So these are some etiquette that, inshallah, later I'll be sharing.
Yes, thank you very much. So we learned that after all, everything that happens in our religion, in Islam, has a scientific and logical background.
Sure.
So thank you. We learned that the animal right in Islam has got a long history. And whatever that happens to those animals during the slaughter is not just for fun. It has got a reason and there's a logic behind it. And that's it. Thank you. We'll catch up in another session and we'll discuss another question. This was Q&A on Islamic Believe. And this is IRIB English Radio. We had a great time discussing with you. Thank you for listening.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
The school in Spain is offering students an opportunity to join a special orchestra. The project dubbed The Music of Recycling brings unwanted junk back to life by transforming them into musical instruments. And here is how they sound. The project offers the instruments to the orchestra in one of Madrid's most disadvantaged neighborhoods. The students say the orchestra keeps them away from mischief and out of serious trouble while giving them an artistic outlet. Several dozens of children are taking music classes from members of the orchestra as part of the project. The ensemble has put on several concerts across Spain, but because of the pandemic, they had to pause their performances. The project is run by Spanish environmental group and is inspired by similar orchestra in Paraguay. To most people, an eggshell is something that gets tossed in the garbage, but to one Chinese artist, the delicate eggshell is the chosen canvas to express art and create mini masterpieces. Zhu is a talented craftsman who has created a series of unique egg sculptures with the theme of Beijing's Winter Olympic and Paralympic Games. Icons of ice and snow sports, as well as etchings of the 2022 Olympic mascots, are showcased in this series. The thin and delicate texture of the shells adds to the difficulty of the craft, which creates a sense of fragile beauty. Zhu says his fascination with eggshell art started when he was very young.
The Christmas season is when people around the world left out a dose of joy in the form of Santas. But it's different in central Thailand on this Christmas Eve. Thai children were ecstatic to see Santa Clauses distributing presents, but this time in the shape of elephants. Dressed in Santa costumes, five elephants carried dolls, face masks, and sanitizers for students. They were surrounded by many human Santa Clauses as well. But the students cheered with joy while reaching out for presents from the jumbos. Event managers say their goal was to encourage students to stay vigilant during the pandemic, plus they wanted to give the children some fun to look forward after months of virtual classes. The event is a yearly highlight for a school that caters to students from kindergarten to secondary level.
Scientists have made a stunning discovery inside a fossilized dinosaur egg. an embryo that's been preserved in a perfect shape. The embryo was found inside a 66-million-year-old fossil in a museum in the Chinese city of Guangzhou. Paleontologists say it's the best dinosaur embryo ever found. They're hoping it would help a lot in finding the links between modern birds and dinosaurs. The fossil belongs to a toothless Oviraptorosaur, a group of feathered dinosaurs that used to live in what's now Asia and North America. The embryo is nicknamed Baby Yinliang after the Chinese museum that houses the fossil.
After almost 2 years of isolation due to the coronavirus pandemic, Mexicans are once again celebrating Christmas together in a fair in the capital, Mexico City. Here's more.
It is a joy that we've been planning for a long time to go out and to take this picture because we've been locked up for 2 years and we couldn't go out. Now there's green light. We decided to go out with the whole family to live these moments together.
A few things are different than the fur as far as Mexican tradition goes. Santa, and not the traditional three wise men, give out presents. Families also have their photos taken by the Father Christmas. These are rare moments amid the coronavirus pandemic. The attendees say the situation is complicated, but they will try their best to make it work. The festival has been made possible by the introduction of green passes, which indicate full vaccination against COVID.
Exchanging gifts is an inseparable and also the most joyful part of Christmas traditions. How about sharing the joy with animals? Now, a zoo in the Colombian city of Cali is doing so by giving presents to its animals. The presents are actually the animals' favorite foods served in a different way. Animals spend time unpacking the gifts decorated in Christmas theme and then access the food they like the most. Feeding in this way arouses the animals' curiosity and fills them with excitement. Zookeepers say they want to show that animals always receive care at their zoo.
It is a very cool way to generate empathy for visitors. Although animals do not know that it's Christmas or that it's a special date, it is important to generate that message in visitors that we make care of our animals and that for us it is important to share with them this Christmas season.
The zookeepers say they make use of enrichment strategies for their initiative. They actually stimulate the behaviors of a range of animals, even the species they keep in an aquarium. Running a marathon is pretty tough for most. But a group of people has upped the ante to take the competition to sub-zero temperatures of Antarctica. 62 people descended on the Union Glacier from around the world and ran over a 42-kilometer course. The area is just a few hundred kilometers from the South Pole. Soft snow and temperatures as low as minus 15 degrees Celsius did not stop Latvia Evia Rain from setting a women's record. The event was delayed for several days because of a massive storm that battered the area a week ago. Adventurers and athletes have been putting their strength to the test in the race every year since 2005.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A tiny baby mouse deer takes its first steps into the world with a round body and spindly legs in a Polish zoo. It was born on December 2nd and now stands roughly 10 centimeters tall. The Warsaw Zoo got its first mouse deer last year and a second one last summer. Zoo staff are surprised that the pair of new arrivals have produced offspring so quickly. Mouse deer are among the smallest mammals. Even as adults, they only weigh around 2 kilograms. Contrary to their name, they are neither from mouse nor from deer species. Some mammalogists consider them living fossils because they haven't evolved much over millennia. Beachgoers in Brazil's Rio de Janeiro have been surprised by very rare visitors, a family of orcas. The family of three was seen swimming in shallow waters of a crowded beach south of the city. The group didn't seem to care at all about the presence of people on their paddleboards. Footage of the orcas quickly spread on social media because they don't usually come that close to the coast. A local biologist says the whales were likely drawn to the area by a cold current from further south.
What we see in the video is a family group that has a male and a female who have a calf. It is common that the orcas come from a colder current where there is also a shoal and they reach the south, the north in fact, and end up hitting our coast. Then they rest in warmer waters such as Copacabana Beach, Ipanema Beach, and Barra da Tijuca.
The biologist says the mammals pose no risk to humans despite the label killer whales. He says there is no record of their attacks on humans. Researchers suspect that the migration patterns of whales could be influenced by climate change and the resulting changes in water temperatures. Serving customers in a high-tech way. That's what a traditional restaurant in the German state of Bavaria does. What's the goal? The owner explains.
We decided ourselves for this robot because of the lack of staff. Looked for support in a technological form. It's not a replacement, of course, but it's a relief for the waiters.
The robot is equipped with a trolley and it can easily move around in the restaurant. When it comes to saving time, the high-tech waiters is of great help, especially when the restaurant is packed with customers. The owner says most customers first become surprised when they come across the robot. He says waiters are still present to serve meals and receive orders. Butterfly gardens are a place where you can watch these tiny creatures and marvel at their beauty. But have you ever wondered where these butterflies come from? These colorful creatures are in fact bred in butterfly farms. And Donald Orsay from Costa Rica is one of the biggest breeders, making that the mission of his life. He produces somewhere around 2,500 pupas per week. Arce is one of the world's largest exporters of the popular Morpho species. Listen to him explain why he is fascinated by them.
A morpho has a great advantage. It is a butterfly that rarely stays still, unless it is very late, because when it is getting dark, it settles down, but normally it flies constantly. It flies by in the butterfly gardens.
Arce's butterflies have their own special diet. They feed on bananas and a concoction that he keeps its ingredients secret. Morphos are popular because of their color. They are shimmering blue on one side and brown on the other side. That's perfect for camouflage. Butterflies are really fun to watch, but they serve a critical purpose as well. They help plants reproduce by pollination, thus strengthening the ecosystem.
A few hooks and a shelf have transformed a wall in the Swedish capital, Stockholm, into an outdoor charity. It's called the Wall of Kindness, which is painted with the slogan, "Grab a jacket if you need one, leave a jacket if you can spare one." Here people can donate their winter clothes or warm boots if they have some extra. The Wall of Kindness is meant to help those in need, including the homeless, to stay warm. The wall was set up by a real estate company, and the organizer says people have responded positively with the high turnover. The move was inspired by a trend that has been seen in Iran over the years. Several other countries across the world, such as India, have also organized similar outdoor charities.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at the first of its kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit, dubbed Let's Fly, displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. The organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم امر الله سبحانه الا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universe.
universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام كل مقتصر عليه كاف.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam stated, "Every small thing that he is contented upon suffices."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. We find, dear brothers and sisters, that the life and the persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, revolves around his words and his actions. One of the beautiful things about the words and the statements and the actions and the behaviors of Imam Ali alayhi salam is that they were in sync with one another. They were inseparable from one another. And so therefore, Imam Ali did what he said, and he said what he did. And this is true perfection in a human being. We don't just merely say that we follow the commands of Allah, we do follow the commands of Allah. We don't merely say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God except Allah. We live and we behave with this La ilaha illallah in our lives. Now it's interesting, we find that the household of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they were all very generous. They had this quality of sakhawat. They were the quality of generosity. They were known as sakhi, meaning generous. Now, it's interesting, but this generosity was so great that they were well known and famous as being generous, and this was considered a part and parcel of their persona. Imam Ali alayhi salam is explaining this idea of sakhawat and this concept, this ideal of generosity, says that the ultimate degree of generosity is to give away what is in one's power. It's interesting, but we find that in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, there is this integral and this very fundamental pillar in his life, which is the persona of Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, peace and blessings upon her, the daughter of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. truly we find in the life of Lady Fatima al-Zahra that she did give away everything that was in her power to be able to give. There are many stories in the historical texts which show these different instances where Lady Fatima al-Zahra gave away her food. And likewise, Imam Ali gave away his food. Or Imam Ali, for example, it is well known that he would dig wells and then he would give it away in charity. He would plant trees and he would give these orchards of date trees away in charity. And this is one of the things that we learn from the persona of the Ahlul Bayt, and this is one of the things that we must follow if we are to be the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, and that is to be generous and to give away on the path of Allah and for the sake of Allah. Give away to the poor, give to the needy, help them. And of course, as Imam Ali says, the ultimate degree of generosity is to give away what is in one's power. A beautiful and profound lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك الأمان يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم.
O Allah, I ask you for the protection of the day when property will not avail, nor sons except he who comes with a heart free from evil.
وأسألك الأمان يوم يعض الظالمون على يدي يا يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا.
And I ask you for protection on the day when the unjust one will bite his hands, saying, Oh, would that I had taken away with the messenger.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
I try to talk about this spiritual status of Amir al-Mu'mineen, master of the spiritual masters. Not as Waliyul Awliya, but as Waliyullah. Now you will say, you know, how can Ali be the Wali of Awliya and also Wali of Allah? This is where you have to realize the richness of this language known as Arabic, the language of the Quran. Many words have actually not only multiple meanings, sometimes, you know, opposite meanings. On Fridays, we recite the special ziyarat of our 12th Imam. There is a statement there where we say, As-salamu alayka ya maulaya ana maulaka. You are saying salam to the Imam of the time and you are saying salam to you, O Mawlaya, O my Mawla. And then you are saying, Ana Mawlaka, salam to you, O my Mawla, I am your Mawla. You are using same words when you address the Imam and when then you describe yourself. What does it mean? Salam on you, O my master, and I'm your master? No. Mawla in the first place means the master. They're referring to our Imam. When I say, Wa ana mawlaka, mawla there means I am your slave. Same word used mawla for the Imam as the master, same word used for mawla for myself in the meaning of slave. This is the richness of Arabic language. You have to look at the context to understand what does it mean. When we use the term Wali, we say Waliyul Mu'mineen, Waliyul Awliya. We are looking at the relationship of Ali and those who are down. When we use the word Wali for Ali in relation to other people, we take the word Wali in the meaning of master. When we use the term Wali for Ali above him, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we call him Waliullah, it's not in the meaning of master, it is in the meaning of friend or somebody who is beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini Islam, Dini, Walla'adam, Ghayru Dini, Muhammad illi Hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jalad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to be talking about the prayer rules according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography.
A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and his teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Well, Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas on the Islamic laws on prayer rules, let me ask you this question. If the time left for a prayer is short, can one skip all of his recommended acts and mustahabbat?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously the recommended parts or the mustahab acts of prayer can be skipped at any time, even if the time is extended.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it is not good to do so because
yes.
it's considered giving no regard to prayer. We must not belittle the prayers,
mm-hmm.
and we must offer the prayers in the most perfect and most complete form. But if the time is so short, like for example, you want to offer the Qunut prayer, but the time is short, and if you recite the Qunut, you will end up offering your prayer out of time. So in that case, obviously you can skip the mustahab parts. Like for example, Qunut is one of the mustahab parts. You can skip for example the adhan, the iqama, and also before the main prayer. And then you can also, instead of saying one subhanallah tasbihat arba, instead of saying reciting them three times, you can recite it once. And there are many mustahab acts which can be skipped.
I see. Sheikh, if there's any time left, which is sufficient, in fact, for only one rak'at of a unit to be offered within the prescribed time, okay?
Yeah.
Of course, the time when we say prescribed, we mean prescribed and limited for a prayer unit, right?
Yeah.
Can a person or a praying person make the niyat or intention of ada or qada?
Yeah, of course, he can make the niyat of ada. Ada. Ada means offering the prayer within the prescribed time.
Yes.
So if there's time left only for one rakat, and now imagine there is one person offering the asr prayer or the afternoon prayer,
mm-hmm.
and he has no time left but only one, for example 1 minute or as little time as it can be sufficient for one rakat, then in that case of course he has to make the niyyah of ada. In fact, his prayers is still considered to be a prayer offered within the prescribed time.
Mm-hmm.
So, generally speaking, if a part of the prayer falls within the prescribed time, that prayer is considered as ada prayer, and the niyyah should also be ada.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, another question, which is also I find challenging, is if a person offered the Isha prayer. All right.
Yeah.
He's under the intention that, under the illusion that there is no time to offer any other prayer, like such as the Maghrib prayer. Okay.
Because
with the same niyyah, with the same intention. Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously he skips his Maghrib prayer and he goes straight to the Isha prayer. Okay. But he later finds out,
mm-hmm.
that. There is still some time left
like prescribed time for the Maghrib prayer.
Maghrib prayer.
Can he offer the Maghrib prayer with the intention of Adha? Obviously, after the
Isha prayer.
Isha, yes.
Well, that's a good question, you know. It is permissible to offer, and it's necessary, in fact, to offer the Maghrib prayer, given the fact that that individual has already offered the Isha prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Maghrib prayer comes after the Isha prayer.
Yes.
In this case, there is no problem. The Isha prayer can be offered after the Maghrib prayer can be offered after the Isha prayer.
Uh-huh.
There is no objection, there is no problem. So, if the time is left, and if there's a little time left, and this time allows him to offer the Maghrib prayer within the prescribed time, then of course it is necessary and it is permissible at the same time to offer Maghrib prayer, even though it falls after the Isha prayer.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, talking about the prayer rules according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas on Islamic laws. Well, Sheikh, if a person is a debtor,
yeah,
all right, if someone is indebted and now they are busy praying,
yes,
or offering their prayer, and suddenly there is a knock on the door and that's the sound of a
creditor. Yes.
All right. So what is the Islamic rule about this? What should they do? What, like, is the debtor supposed to do? Should they, in fact, stop offering the prayer and deal with the creditor, or continue finishing it and then go and deal with the creditor?
The religious authorities have said that since paying the debt is very important, and repaying your loan to the debtor, to the creditor, is very important, of course, the debtor who is busy praying should, if the creditor is in a hurry, and if maybe he is, he's going somewhere and he's knocking at the door, the debtor has to stop praying. He has to repay his loan and mm-hmm. then offer his prayer from the beginning. He has to repeat his prayer.
Uh-huh.
And this suggests how important it is mm-hmm. to repay your loan,
yes,
in time, and to, of course, not to
postpone it.
Yeah, not to delay it, not to postpone it. And that is very important. For many of us, it is a kind of an instruction. For many people around us, we know that they are very much lazy. They procrastinate.
They are not sensitive about their loans.
Yeah, they are
or
not
payment.
Doing anything to repay their loan, and
yes,
they are so easy and comfortable,
easy loan, yes,
not doing anything to repay their loan. Obviously, as I said, if a person is